In the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Good morning. A few years ago, there was a study out of UCLA that observed the typical week of 32 middle-class families living in the Los Angeles area. And the goal of this study was to take a snapshot of the American family life in the 21st century. The result of this study, according to one of the researchers, was very disheartening. So consumed with working, collecting, amassing, and generally getting ahead, the families actually spent very little time together enjoying what they were working so hard to accomplish. 50 out of the 64 parents in the study never even stepped outside in the course of a week. When the families gave the researchers tours of their homes, they'd say, "Oh, there's the backyard. I really don't have time to go out there." Sadly, this study points out what a rush many of us tend to live in. Today, there's a term used to describe this called hurry sickness. And if you're not sure if you suffer from this condition, the next time you find yourself in the grocery store and there happens to be two lines available and you find yourself counting the number of people in each line and multiplying that by the number of items in each cart, then you might just suffer from hurry sickness. And if you're really sick like I am, not only do you do that, but you actually, if you choose line A, then you actually keep track of the person who would have been you in line B. And if they finish before you do, you get really sad and start doubting the existence of God, right? It's bad. And maybe I'm alone here, but I don't think I am. I think many of us buy into this lie that in order to be happy, we need more, that we don't have enough, that we're not enough, that our value and worth is based upon what we do and what we have. And so we're constantly scrambling and hurrying and striving for more. More money, more possessions, more things to put on our resumes or in our closets. More of whatever it is that we believe will finally make us whole, happy, and content people. But as we know, the search for more never ends. A couple of years ago, I came across this fascinating study that was performed on a group of people who make $25 million a year and above. And the question was asked of them, do you feel like you have enough? Do you feel like you are secure? And do you know what the most common answer was? No. No, we don't. Then they were asked, well, how much more income would you need in order to make you feel like you were finally secure and content? And the average answer was 25% more. If I just had 25% more of $25 million a year, then I would finally be whole and happy and content. John D. Rockefeller, America's first billionaire, was once asked by a reporter, how much money is enough? To which he responded, just a little bit more. This is why I think Jesus' invitation to his disciples in today's gospel lesson is so important for us to hear. They've just finished reporting to him all that they had done, all that they had taught, all that they had accomplished, probably looking for some sort of affirmation, when Jesus says to them, come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest for a while. Now, I don't think this was just an invitation to take an afternoon off or go on a vacation, although those are important things to do. But I think Jesus is issuing an invitation to loosen our shackles and to climb out of the cages we've constructed from this cultural myth that more is our ticket to happiness. And so Jesus invites us to stop and to rest and to take a step back from all those things that drive us and consume us. The Christian author and Roman Catholic priest Henry Nouwen summed it up like this: "When we enter into solitude to be alone with God, we quickly discover how dependent we are. Without the many distractions of our daily lives, we feel anxious and tense. When nobody speaks to us, calls on us, or needs our help, we start feeling like nobodies. Then we begin wondering whether we are useful, valuable, or significant. Our tendency is to leave this fearful solitude quickly and get busy again, to reassure ourselves that we are somebodies. But that is a temptation, because what makes us somebodies is not other people's responses to us, but God's eternal love for us." In other words, when we stop striving for more and simply rest in the presence of God, then we're reminded of just how much God loves us. Not because of anything that we've done, but because of what God has already done for us. When we stop and rest in God, we are reminded that we have enough, that we are more than enough. Today's appointed psalm, Psalm 23, is typically used at funerals to offer us a sense of comfort and peace in the face of death. But I think its words have even more meaning and significance in the power and in the midst of our lives. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." God desperately desires for us to break the cycle of wanting more by remembering that he is our shepherd. And like a good shepherd, he has promised us to always take care of us, to always look out for us, to always seek us out when we go astray. And if we can't find the time to stop and rest on our own, Psalm 23 goes on to tell us that the shepherd will actually make us lie down in green pastures. I recently read a book called A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23 by a sheep farmer named Philip Keller. And this is what he writes about sheep. "There are several conditions under which a sheep will not lie down. Sheep are very timid creatures. As long as they're afraid, they won't lie down. They won't risk resting. As long as there's even the slightest suspicion of danger from predators, the sheep stand up, ready to flee for their very lives." Like sheep, most of us don't like to lie down. Not because we're afraid of predators like coyotes or wolves, but because we're afraid of losing control, or at least the perception of being in control. And this sense of control begins very early on, doesn't it? As a parent of a 3.5-year-old son, I have to tell you that two of the most difficult times in my home are at nap time and at bedtime. My son would rather do almost anything than lie down, be still, and rest. And trust me, the last person you want to be around is a sleep-deprived toddler. It's a nightmare. And this sense of control doesn't seem to get much better as we get older. We desperately attempt to control all those circumstances and outcomes of our lives, and we get frustrated and angry and impatient when things don't turn out like we plan. When we refuse to let go, to stop and to lie down in green pastures, things typically don't turn out very well. Keller goes on to write in his book, "What gives the sheep assurance to finally lie down and rest is the presence of the shepherd. When the shepherd is present, then the sheep realize they have nothing to fear because someone is watching out for them. Someone is protecting them. Someone is guarding and guiding them. The good news found in Psalm 23 is that our shepherd is always with us. And he comes to us today asking us once again to stop, to lie down, and to rest in his unconditional love and grace, remembering that we are so much more than what we do or what we have. We are so much more than our latest achievement or our greatest failure. Today, with God's grace, may we trust our good shepherd and answer Jesus' invitation to stop and to rest in his presence. Now, it may not be easy. After all, giving up control or the illusion of control never is. But when we do, we may just find ourselves in green pastures, refreshed and restored. Amen.